What a show of defiance on the weekend from a bunch of men and women in blue. And no, we're not talking about the New South Wales Police Force. We are, of course, talking about Sydney FC, winners in both the men's and women's derbies at Combank in an absolutely brilliant display. Our girls laying the foundation early, despite being significantly under strength due to the under 20 Asian Cup, before Ufuk Tele's side put on a masterpiece on the pitch, matched only by the away support offered. It's Sky Blue Stories with Sean, Jono and Michelle. We'll also have a Sky Blue story on its own with current Sydney FC capo Winston Gentry joining us a little later on to talk about active support and all things Cove. Sean, first to you. Has your Saturday night excitement tempered as yet?
Still riding on it. Still beautiful. Yeah. Seeing all the footy.
Still semi there?
The photos of the Cove, the fellas amongst the Cove, the Maxis and the Grants and the like. It was a beautiful evening.
It was beautiful. That's well said. I like how you've worded that. Michelle, you've possibly had the best football weekend of your life in terms of results. You met a prince as well.
Good wake us.
How's your recovery going?
Well, I'm sick, so really good. Well. Yeah.
So off to a
great start.
Don't cough on the prince.
No, I won't cough on him. No, he's off. Back to Europe for a bit, I think. But no, great. I mean, what more can I say? Ideal weekend for MMTV. Arsenal 6 points, Sydney 6 points, Universidad Católica. Everyone's getting the points and the wins. So yeah, can't complain.
Fantastic. And say Sky Blue in Spanish for me again. Sorry.
Celeste.
Celeste.
El Sky Blue.
I tried really hard. Like,
we appreciate it.
I thought Azura would have been in there, but, you know, got that wrong. But anyway, right. I hope I didn't offend our Spanish speaking fans. It was a huge weekend. Absolutely brilliant. Let's get straight into it, hey Sean.
Well, Jonathan, Michelle, Jules is mostly talk shit most of the time, but going back several months ago, he made a certain prediction about Fabio's potential goal scoring prowess, and we laughed at him. I laughed at him, said some words behind his back. Is this coming true now? We got Fab on 11 goals, thanks to ASOS for some of these details, or all of these details, really. 11 goals, 4 assists. Although 4 or 4 from pens, but a goal's a goal. Top goal scorer sitting ahead of Lolly or Joe on 9. And Alfie's 13 goals last, or 22-23. Mm. So how many games we've got left? 8, something, 10?
27 rounds, and that was game 19, is that right? So, yeah, I think you're right, Sean. 8 games left.
He might actually. What did Jules save? Was it 15?
15. He reckons he'll get 15 goals.
4 goals to go. Yeah. He'll have to, like, he'll get them.
If he plays like he did on the weekend, I reckon he'll get them.
Is he good, Michelle? Like, I know I set you up on the run sheet last week to maybe say that he wasn't.
Is he the real deal?
Is he good?
I mean, I think, okay, I'm going to give him some benefit of the doubt here. Apologies. Mm-hmm. But
you're
I think,
nice.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Nice. I'm a lot meaner in like private group chats where I don't have to like
the vitriol.
You're all talk.
Okay, no, I have a job in sports media. I have to be like good publicly, and then privately I'll be vicious. But anyways, I think with some benefit of doubt for Fabio, I think he's come to a country where he doesn't speak the language. He's had to learn to adapt to play in, you know, different conditions. Yes, it's hot in Brazil, hotter probably more humid, but like he's still playing in wet weather. He's still playing in, you know, sometimes hot weather, sometimes cold weather.
Hot places, cold places.
Yeah, so it's, you know, he's playing in a different condition with different facilities and whatnot, and had to pick up his whole life and move to halfway around the world. So I think with that in mind, you know, it, and with a coach at the start of the season who wasn't, you know, helping us get the results that we desired, it was a bit much, I think. And so I think with that in mind, I think the way that he has been playing hasn't been too bad. Like, he's in the right positions and he's in the right areas. He's just not getting them in the back of the net. But the same could be said for half of our women's team as well. So, you know.
Yeah, I was talking to Jules during the week and I, you know, again, we like to poke a bit of fun at him. But like you said, Sean, he's not far off. And 11 goals, no matter how you get them, in 20 games is not bad.
Do we discount the ones that are pens? Like,
no, you still got to score them.
Yeah.
And also because, like, you know, I mean, if you look at Jamie McLaren, everyone thinks he's, like, the greatest goal scorer. He's only got, like, a 1 meter radius. So what's the difference?
But also think about our Sydney FC men's conversion of penalties in the last couple of years. We couldn't score. Oh,
last year.
You know, and Fabs has got, what, 5 now?
4 from 4.
Is that 5? Can I just say, though, all of his penalties are illegal, and I fucking hate it.
Oh, because he stops?
Like, starters and stop.
Just kick the fucking ball in. Like, he stops. You're not allowed to stop momentum. Anyway.
It's because he goes forward. He goes forward, then he goes back. And then he's like, in that moment of trying to go forward, he stops. And then
I'm waiting for a ref to pull him up. And they haven't. Like, I don't want them to. Don't get me wrong. But
maybe there's still enough movement in there that they can see that he's still, like, got the momentum.
John Yanni. Yanni Apotsis, so, can you DM us and tell you if you agree?
Do you sign Fab on for next season then?
That's a really hard question because he is only here on loan. So it's like, do we risk keeping him and maybe worry that we're not going to get, you know, as many goals as we desire? Or
I haven't thought about that.
Do we then look elsewhere and risk again, maybe another striker who won't live up to that potential of the number 9 that we need?
I think we've all agreed that he's probably not a tally ball specialist, like in terms of his pressing and that. He tries really fucking hard. Like, I think he tries really hard, but I don't know if he's...
He pressed more at the start of the season than he did now.
Yeah. I think if you gave Ulfie a list of, you know, 3 or 4 players, I'm not sure would be the one that he would pick. I don't know. But 11 goals is 11 goals, and that's brilliant, and good on him. And you know, I will ask that question every week, I think, until the end of the season. Is he good? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's, you know, yeah, it's maybe. Yeah. Anyway. Good stats, Sean. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks to ASOS for those deets. And I didn't know this was a thing. I'm not on Twitter as much as you guys. You guys don't put the phone down. I'm a little bit concerned.
Correct.
An intervention. But under 21s, ones to watch.
Yeah, this is a new thing.
Did it just start this week? Or has it been going since the season? Or
I think I've seen a couple before.
Do they get a car at the end of it or something if they win? Like, Jakey's on 5 points.
I mean, they might get some, like, tuck shop money or something.
Yeah, like the Mackie's Happy Meal or something.
You know, Maddie's in year 11 or something. So, yeah. Like, come on. Like,
maybe some, like, gear at Typo. Do the kids still like Typo?
Maybe, yeah.
No,
yeah.
She'd be in year 10.
Year 10?
Surely. She's 16. She'd be in year 10.
Who's Kukai? What's the other mad stationery brand that girls like? Anyway.
Smiggle.
Smiggle.
No. That's for maybe a bit younger.
Holly Casper's can have that. Jakey's on 5 points. Finn Sermon, Jake Farrow, which I rate very highly. But
is it points or is it just a ranking?
He's on 5 points. He's
points. Okay.
It must be for an award at the end of the season.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah.
Maybe they.
And Maddie's topping the girls.
They take him to go get their L plates, I think.
Speaking of DMV. Speaking of Maddie Caspers, because I don't think it's on our run sheet.
5 points too.
I don't think it's on our run sheet, but did you guys see the footage from Australia Korea in the under 20 Asian Cup?
So much snow.
The snow.
Like, oh my God.
I thought I was watching that Snowpiercer movie. Like, what?
It was an MLS game as well that was covered in snow.
Yeah,
but they
must
could
be on the same latitude or something.
But they could play in the snow. I think the snow made the ball move. Like, you could still move the ball in the MLS game, but you could not move the ball in the Uzbek game.
The snow was that thick in the girls' game. Like,
it was bad.
It looked like
they're so lucky there were no serious injuries.
100%. Sorry, Sean, what are you saying?
Oh, look, So speaking of Maddie Caspers,
yeah.
He's on a massive 5 points, and I'm not surprised that three of the top five are all Sydney FC players with Indiana and Kirsty, because isn't like 90% of our team under 21?
Well,
I think so.
Well, that's what surprised me today. That's actually what led me to sending you guys that message about Kirsty Fenton. She's only 20 years old. And just in September or October. Unbelievable. She plays she's a well-seasoned professional.
She's so good.
She's just a machine. She's so good. So yeah, good on those girls, and good on the six representatives for the young Matildas.
That's it.
That's around the grounds. Yeah, good. Let's talk Sydney Derby. Should we go in order? What does Sean say all the time? Age before beauty.
Yeah, let's go chronologically.
Chronologically, son. Okay, very good. Sydney FC women 2, Western Sydney Wanderers women 0 in the Maddie Caspers Derby. I think it's fair to say that's what it is. And as our lovely co-host Nick Rojas said, the debate has been settled. Maddie Caspers is the favourite child and the youngest, just like myself being the youngest. Sean, youngest. Michelle,
I'm a middle.
Sorry, Michelle.
You're unlucky.
It's all the youngest. All the youngest are the favourites. Mackenzie Hawksby and Kaylee. Finish the name.
Alan Henniker.
Thank you. Got the goals, 2-0. Quite a big crowd, Michelle, bundled in before the men's game. As much as we dislike double headers, good to see a few fans in the stand.
Yeah, I mean, I think someone said that there was like a 9.5K attendance. I don't think that was true. It looked more like 5K, to be honest. Yeah. Being there, it didn't look like there was almost 10,000 people in the stadium. It was a good crowd, don't get me wrong. I just don't think that was 10,000. But
but Michelle, why wasn't the Cove there? Why wasn't the Cove there? Why were they having?
Oh my god! I don't think people. Should I talk about this? I don't know if you want me to talk about this or not. Or if you're just like running me up.
It's on the run. Look, you have to.
You have a job in sports media, so you know. Just but no. Honestly, though, as a capo of the Sydney FC women's team, Michelle. Let's just get it out there on the record, because you have quite strong feelings about doubleheaders.
Yes.
But you also see it from the men's perspective, because every single men's game you are up front, you know, in the Cove as well. So I think there's probably no one better qualified to talk about this than you. So tell us, because for context, there's been a few people online who seem to be maybe a bit more casual attendees of the games, and having cheap pot shots at the Cove for not being there in numbers for the women's game as opposed to the men's game. So yeah. Michelle, and your response.
And okay, my first response, like the first thing I want to say is, like, they always, all the comments have been about the Cove and none about the RBB, for example, because this was the City Derby. So there's no comments about the RBB. And I'm like, okay, well, you can't single out one men's active supporter group and then not the other when it's not even our home game. I mean, this is an away game. So firstly, like, that should not have even been brought into the conversation. Secondly, and I did say this in another comment to someone else, because it didn't hit me until there's no drum and there's no usual group. Cove was not there. We were still there. We were still present. Yeah. We were still singing and we were still making noise. It was everyone else around us that did not want to participate despite buying tickets in an away active zone. So this is why the doubleheader situation doesn't work, because especially when you come into stadiums like this where they're very anal about, you know, where you're sitting and what your ticket number says and whatnot, and especially because in these games, all the supporter marshals are with the men's active for their march to keep them safe from police, from anyone else you know, and that's totally understandable. And I totally I don't care.
And that's simply a numbers. That's simply a numbers thing. Right, yeah. Michelle? Like if the code, if you guys were consistently bringing 500 people for the code for women's games, then you would have supporter marshals.
Exactly.
You know, as well.
Exactly. The thing that's frustrating is that when it happens like this, it means that I've got, basically we were having issues with, I wanted my group to be in the same bay as me so we could all stand together and do active in a group.
Mm.
But they didn't have the same ticket bay number as me. They were in the one over. And so I was like, don't worry about it. Just come over. Who cares? Anyway, security got arsy about it. And they were saying that, no, they're not in that bay. This is what we've been told. They had to get the head of security to come. And it was like this whole hullabaloo about nothing, right? It was just a big mess for no reason. And which meant that, okay, so I'm in one bay. My group is in another. I'm standing, we're standing as close as we can to each other. They're so that the security were like, oh, it's all allocated. But there's all those kids who are doing the halftime stuff and they're in running around in our bays. And I'm like, okay, well, why are they allowed in here? But they're my friends who are supporting the same team. They can't be in here. Anyways, so this is why the doubleheader situation doesn't work, because you've got these bigger stadiums with more security, more police, which means that we can't do our normal thing. And then people complain that the active groups don't show up. The men's active groups show up. What's the point at the last is that one,
the police ask them, the logistics
tell
of
them, like, you know, this is all organized months in advance. Like the police, you have to organize it with the police because it's a march, you know, just like political protests in the middle of the CBD, they still have to organize them with the police. And then in this scenario as well, like, I have also asked if they can come after the women's game, so not to intrude in the women's game, because I think it's far more disrespectful for them, for men's groups to then come in at the 80th minute, say, we're
take the spotlight off.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, where were you the whole game? You're only here now. Yeah. And they're so understanding of that, mind you. Like, they're like, okay, like, we will do our best to, like, you know, liaise with police, security, whoever, to make sure that that game is not disrupted because of us, which is what happened at Melbourne away last year. So yeah, that's what I'll say. I'm not mad that they weren't there. I just think that the league needs to start respecting the women's teams more and saying that they can host these derbies and these games all on their own. They don't need these double headers.
Look at round one.
And we've had to say that so many times as well to defend ourselves, to be like, look at round one. We brought 11,000 people. And
double headers work for some people, but not everyone.
It doesn't work for active.
And it doesn't work for active.
It's a long day. It's a long time.
And that's the other thing. You know, we've got to chat with Winston a bit later on, but, you know, the physical toll that being active actually takes, like, everyone puts their heart and soul into active support. And for one game, that's hard enough, right? Imagine doing that for two games. Like, Michelle, that's you, right? But there aren't many Michelle Morrises, and this is not to talk you up or whatever, but you know, there aren't many people that are going to spend 5 hours supporting, you know, two teams across an afternoon of a Saturday entertainment.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, not everyone's as fit and a specimen like you are, Michelle.
Thank you. I am very fit, clearly.
You are, clearly. So yeah, anyway, let's talk about football. Let's talk about the football, because it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Good 2-0 result. Very disrupted lineup, Sean, because we had a lot of players missing.
Yeah, I was actually, of course we had the six out, and of course Fiona's, well, she's not coming back, alas. Margot Gervais in the center of midfield. Interesting. Very interesting. With Hawk and Taylor. So, look, there's still a lot of familiar faces. They're probably what the biggest thing that helps us with all those faces away is that back four. Your Charlotte, your Jordan, Kirsty, and Tori are there. So, and of course, Jada in goals as well. So, a different bench. Probably it affects the bench mostly with Jasmine Black, Kaylee coming in. Still got some kind of somewhat semi-season veterans with Lucy and Shay on the bench as well. So, just goes to show, despite their young age, we've got very good depth and we can call upon a lot of players to get the job done. And this was a very important game to do so, especially absolutely. On the back of the Canberra game not finishing. So we did need those points.
Absolutely. It was a frustrating first half. Abby Lemon, the poor thing, had two gilt-edged chances, Mish. Three gilt-edged chances. One was denied by Sham Karmas, who actually had a pretty good first half, must admit. Sham had a pretty good first half. But yeah, the header for mine from Abby, which was pretty much an open goal. You could tell how pissed off she was with herself.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw her at the end of the game, she just looked, well, not very happy.
Defeated.
After all the celebrations, mind you, you know, I think she went and spoke to family or friends or something, and then she was coming back towards the tunnel. But yeah, she just looked a bit down, which can't blame her. I feel like Shay maybe should look a bit down as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Shay had a massive chance as well, didn't she?
She had a couple there.
But at least that was 1-0. We were 1-0 up by that stage. And I think Abby, did she get, I won't use the word dragged, but did she get taken off at halftime?
Indeed.
Yeah.
I think so.
Half time. So it was nice to see Lucy Johnson and Shay Connors return from injury, which is brilliant. And Sienna Savesco, who we haven't seen much of at all. I really thought after that first derby where she came on and played a really good cameo that we'd see a bit more of Sienna. But she's been, I don't know if she's been carrying an injury or not, but she sort of struggled to get some game time. The star of the show, bit of a game changer, was Kaylee Tallon-Henniker, Michelle. We saw her take part in the Women's Asian Champions League late last year in Uzbekistan. And she signed a contract. Once we saw six players get signed up to miss three or four games, Ante obviously had to call on the troops. And Kaylee's made her A-League Women's debut and drew a penalty, not long after coming on.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a game-changer moment. Fresh legs, I think, is what was needed in that moment, especially because, yeah, I think the first half we looked really strong and we were playing quite well, but no one was able to score. And I think in that moment, Ante's like, well, this is a derby. Like, this is a must-win game, especially to keep, you know, premiership hopes alive. And, yeah, I think, you know, on debut, get a goal and win the penalty. Like, pretty solid.
Absolutely. And well done to Maka for burying the pen.
You know what? I was a bit worried.
So was I.
I was worried that, I was worried for two reasons. One, I was like, okay, who's taking the penalty?
Because
I was like, surely by this point they've said, Prinny, you're off. Like,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Until your head's right with taking penalties, like you can't do them. And then because we've never seen Hawksby take a penalty, I was like, how's this gonna go?
But take it she did, and any penalty that goes in is a good one, as we say. So that made it 1-0. Things got a little bit easier actually, just as I think I was giving Courtney Vine some shtick in our personal chat, she drew a foul that somehow, I'm still puzzled as to how, somehow got a Western Sydney Wanderers player sent off.
Yeah, it wasn't a yellow. Oh, sorry, it wasn't a red. And we've seen that rescinded.
Yes, in the last we did.
24 odd hours, give or take.
Like, again, we've got the hindsight of video and whatnot, but there was two players.
Amy Harrison, one
players.
Of them.
Yeah, Amy Harrison spent the whole game complaining, but that's okay. She's just jealous. She doesn't play for the right team anymore. But there was two players, Sean and Michelle, behind Vicky Bruce. I think the argument from the ref might have been she didn't think that anyone could catch Courtney if she kept going straight, but bit of a rough call on the Westies there.
I mean, Yeah, I think so. I've spoken to some other referees. They still reckon that it's
Dogzo,
because of they argued that if there was no defender, like if Amy Harrison wasn't running towards Courtney Vine, Courtney Vine would still be in on goal. Which is, yeah, I think it's a really, like, hard line to draw. I don't think she really, like, did enough to kind of, you know, draw the foul. I think, you know, Courtney might have played into it a bit. But, look, you know, as a Sydney FC fan, I'm never going to complain in that situation. I think more than anything, it was hilarious. And we've been on the receiving
end of... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've seen some absolutely atrocious red cards given to us and absolutely atrocious penalties conceded by us as well that weren't penalties. But yeah, I mean, hilarious for one, and more than anything, hilarious how much Amy Harrison was arguing with the ref and, you know, getting a yellow card in her direction. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, justice in that.
That's it.
But yeah, nah, like, I think it's funny.
And as Sean, as you said, it has been rescinded. It has been rescinded. So I don't. The thing is, though, it got rescinded for obvious error. I don't know if it was obvious, but it seemed like an error. But anyway, we digress. Sean, talk us through our latest debutante goal scorer. You love a fast winger, Kaylee Talon Henniker.
You know, like myself back in the day, not even 18 yet. I think she was a rugby league or Oztag touch footy kind of prior to, you know, lacing on the real football boots. I thought she'd almost bottled it a bit when she broke through. Her first or second touch was quite out wide to the right of the keeper. And I thought, oh, hang on, why are you going towards that angle when you were pretty much dead straight on goal and need to have either side of the, you know, kind of the goals to push a pass or push a shot past the keeper. But to her credit, you know, despite maybe making the angle harder for herself, she finished it beautifully. Couldn't be happier for the young kid.
Absolutely. No, it's brilliant, and it's good to see one of the girls finishing with a chance, because, we had plenty of them. And, you know, I think this game could have been, you know, beyond the reach of the Wanderers a bit earlier. But I guess we got the 3 points in the end. That's the main thing. And the girls put on a really good show without, you know, two or three regular starters out, as well as some, you know, some girls that usually make the bench. So that's one game down without those girls. We've still got another couple to go, we think. So starting this weekend against top of the table, Western United. So that's going to be a big challenge. I think we mentioned it already, but I think the debate's over, guys. I think Maddie Caspers is greater than Holly Caspers.
Doesn't even need to be at the game, and she's top tier.
That's how good she is.
Right. Sorry, Holly.
She ghosted her sister.
And then her brother scored for Apia at the game I was at on the weekend as well. So I feel a little bit sad for Holly, but you know, she's got TikTok followers, so that's the main thing.
She'll move to Sydney one day. She'll know what winning is like.
She will. That's it. Instead of going into the men's, let's talk about the girls' game quickly. So preview the A-League women's game Friday night, I believe, is it not?
Saturday night.
Oh, because the men are on Sunday. Keep getting that wrong. So Saturday night at the 8th Wonder of the World, Leichhardt Oval, which has become, you know, pretty much the girls' home ground this season, which is just been nice. As I said, we will be without those young Matildas still, but Western United are on almost an unprecedented winning streak at the moment. So it's going to be a tough one, Mish.
Yes, unfortunately. It will be. I think this might be the toughest game that we have this season, to be honest. I think maybe if you asked me at the start of the year, I'd be like, nah, we're good. We've got this in the bag. But, you know, with the amount of players we're missing, with the form that they're in, it's probably, we're going to need a lot of heart, passion and soul going into this game.
Active support. Jeez.
Active support.
Yeah, gonna need a lot
active
of
support.
People coming into the cove for this one. But no, I think we'll be fine. We did beat them earlier this season in their away fixture, which was actually at Allianz during Unite round. And I think we looked okay then. I think we look better now than we did back then in that game in January.
I think they look better though.
They do look better as well. That's the thing. I think
Hanakane
is back scoring. She's got a hat trick in the last game. Chloe Garzo scoring again as well. So
Grace Mars settled a bit for him as well. Like she's been quite good for him.
So it'll be tough.
They've lost their keeper. So Hillary Beale's gone back to the US.
Yeah.
But like
not that really matters because we can't score, so
that's it. But Chloe Legazzo's on fire. It's a shame that the Tillies aren't playing, but they are missing, so they'll be missing former Sky Blue Carly Johnson.
Yep.
Who is with that squad? Are they missing anyone else? They got another.
I think there's another player missing maybe not a starter.
Yeah. So it's going to be rough. The only change that we could see, and it might be a bit rough, but Abby Lemon, could interchange with a Shay Connors. I thought Shay, although she had that one-on-one chance, I thought she looked pretty good. She looked up and about. I think she'd been out for so long. She was keen to get back. She gave you a hug at the end of the game, so she's obviously happy.
Yeah, I think she's got the speed, definitely. It's just that finishing, because she's always in the right spot. She's getting the balls off the plate. I mean, she rounded the keeper. She's doing everything right. It's just about, you know, that final shot and hitting it in the back of the net. And so I think once she gets that first goal, I think she'll settle a bit more.
Yeah. Sean, Saturday night, Leichhardt Oval, nice early 7 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but no, I think Abby starts. I don't see.
Yeah, same lineup.
Yeah, you know, got the job done and done well. So I think Abby starts. And then, or maybe, you know, Shay does start and Abby kind of reverts back to that kind of impact kind of role that comes on, you know, 70 odd minutes kind of time, like she was prior to the girls heading off to Uzbekistan.
You know who was good on the weekend, guys? Sean mentioned at the start, Margot Chavez. God, she's a good player. How she hasn't played a bit more this year, I don't know. But she sort of, it's almost like she was playing sweeper. Like she was playing just in front of the back four at times. But then she found herself on the left of midfield, on the right of midfield. She was all over the park against her former side. I thought Margot was one of the standouts. I don't know if you guys noticed, but
I noticed.
I thought she was great. Yeah, I thought she was great. Very good. So hopefully she keeps her spot in midfield there. Obviously with Indiana, Maddie, and Zara Kruger and Shay Holman, who are all out at the moment. You know, they've all probably, you know, I guess performed quite well. So they've been keeping her out, but. Best thing about Margot is we've seen her play in defence alongside Charlotte McLean. And again, in those games, I thought she was very, very good. And now she's playing in the midfield role. So, you know, yeah, I hope we hang on to her next season. But no reason why she won't start again. Score predictions for this one.
Jesus. No clue.
I'm going to say we're going to score two goals.
How many are they going to score?
At least two. I want to call 2-2. I think Courtney and Shay will score. I think Courtney's due. I watching Courtney was very frustrating in that derby. She was running into corners. She was running into defenders. She was giving the ball away. Something didn't quite seem to be there. We know that there's obviously something happening in her life because she pulled out of the Matildas camp. But yeah, hopefully she's all good physically and mentally. But yeah, I feel like she's a little bit off on the weekend. And it takes a fair bit for her to be off a game. So Yeah, but I reckon her and Shea will score, and I reckon they'll score a couple too. I reckon it'll be a 2-2.
1-1 for me. And Michelle's abstaining. All right, let's move ahead to the men. The men.
Very good. The men's the boys. Let's talk about the boys. Sean, take it away.
4-1 thrashing. Actually, 5-0. Jake scored as well.
True.
But in all seriousness, Grant kicking off, Fab getting a brace, short of a hat trick, and Matt getting on the score sheet as well. Beating the scum at the scummy bank wank, com wank, in front of an absolute pulsating, throbbing cove.
Throbbing.
Very throbbing. What a wonderful way. Absolutely brilliant. Great result. The pressing, holy fuck, it was fucking relentless. Foot was down on the throttle all throughout the game. We're starting to see, and we're seeing this little by little by little. Uffy Zrilic ball as well, you know. Uffy take, you know, they say, you know, acknowledging Zrilic's contribution, of course, as assistant coach.
Yeah, it's come up this week.
Mm-hmm. So well done for the boys. 4-1. Pushed us up further to the table. Have we leapfrogged them? We have, haven't we?
We have.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
We have. Michelle, we've seen this story before, but maybe not for 90 minutes. If we think back to the Central Coast Mariners away, absolute blitz in the first 20 minutes. Adelaide United away, came away 5-1. But this one was probably the most complete Talay ball display.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I was like, this looks like the, like we're in peak Talay ball at the moment, which is awesome. And like, yeah, the way that we were just able to go from minute one and just keep that press the whole game.
Set the tone.
Yeah, well, maybe not the whole game. I think the thing with playing this sort of football means that they need to be as fit as possible. And I think, you know, some of them get gassed out pretty early on. But they're
picking their times perfectly.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. Even if they're knackered, because, you know, pressing is not just about running and closing down your defender every time, right? It's about reading the play. It's about knowing when to go. It's about knowing when to conserve energy. And I think we just perfected it on the weekend.
It was unreal. It was an unreal performance.
Yeah. Remnants of the semi-final last year, Sean.
Very much so.
That's Wanderers.
Yeah. Almost carbon copy. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we didn't have to wait long for our first fucking goal, did we?
No, we didn't.
I barely put my ass down on the couch.
No, I only just saw it myself.
The stats are pretty funny for the game.
Yeah. You're the stat girl. You're the stat person.
We got 20 shots to their 8. But only 8 of our shots were on target.
Yeah, it's acceptable. I'll take that.
Is it? I don't know. I would accept like...
That means we scored 50% of our shots on target.
Okay, fair, fair.
Yeah.
We only had 43% possession of the ball.
Yeah, wow.
We only had 65% passing accuracy, which in my opinion is not very good. That's pretty low.
No.
They had 78% passing accuracy and they had more passes. They had 453. We had 332.
That surprises me actually that they had more ball than us.
Yeah, they had 57% possession, but we did have more corners. We had 7 corners, which I didn't realize. But I mean, not the worst game statistically, I suppose.
I reckon those stats flatter them. I didn't think they were 100%. Very good at all.
No, they did not look good.
More passage where they had Barella had a shot, and then Bredis.
Yeah, it was about 5 minutes. Barrow,
yeah.
They had their offside goal as well.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's what Sean's talking about. But we scored first and second and third.
And fourth.
So, Sean, you love a set piece. You love a set piece goal, Sean.
I do. I was a specialist, actually, in my day. Does Grant score many with his head?
No.
Just an
Trent
aside.
Score many? Question.
Just an aside. Were you like not good at anything, Sean, in your playing career, or are you just good at everything?
Oh, I don't want to brag, but you know,
complete footballer.
The goat.
The goat.
I was total football.
The goat. I hear they a lot of footballers base their play on all age div 8, Sean Maloney.
This is why Tori Chimuth is the way she is.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to drop names.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tori Chimuth, as well.
23.
Sean, sorry, I interrupted you. Does he score many with his head? Well, funny, does he score much at all, Michelle? He is still the current leading goal scorer in the squad for Sydney FC.
Wow.
No one has scored more goals than Ryan Grant for Sydney FC.
That is hilarious.
And he keeps scoring at like regular intervals to just stay ahead of Mac and Lolly. Like, he doesn't want to give it up. He doesn't want to give it up. I think he's got like 17 now, and Mac might be 15. And I think Lolly is like 14. So he's like, he's just staying ahead of them. But it was, as Simon Hill said, it lit the sky blue touch paper. The stands went off. It was an absolutely brilliant start, Sean, in the opening minutes.
Absolutely. What a great way to set the tone for the rest of the game. And then barely, you know what, 5-odd minutes pass. Fabio gets his chance to take the pen and punishes it quite well. So what, within the first 10 minutes of the game?
There was no dispute for the handball, was it? It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
No, they disputed, obviously.
Yeah. His hand
referee
was
yelling at them, saying, "Yeah." The referee was yelling at them and being like, "I know." He basically looked like he was saying, "How can you argue? His hand is out."
It was pretty obvious. And Fabs again with his stutter run up, Sean, as you said, 2-0, 7 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah, brilliant. Then the game starts to even out a bit. Brella had his goal disallowed; it was offside. But, you know, we deserve to go into the half 2-0. The athleticism, the stamina, the relentless pressing, constantly winning the ball high in their defensive third, really high up the pitch, so we can really turn on that attack very nice and quickly. So, but to keep that up for the entire game. And look, you know, yes, our goals didn't come from this, you know, pass like we saw with the week before when Jordan scored his absolute belter of a goal with those half a dozen passes that led up to it. But, you know, a goal is a goal, and last Saturday's goals were just from that great team pressing, winning the ball high and finishing nicely. So 2-0 at the break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, mate. No, go on, mate.
Oh, just 2-0 at the break. I was fucking happy.
Brilliant. I thought you were about to start. You were a bit nervous, 2-0? Most dangerous scoreline in...
Exactly. In always freaks me out. But I wasn't... I was, like, nervous because I was thinking about that. And I was like, oh, man, if we can score two, they can score two. But then I was
Were you derby... You were derby nervous?
Yeah. Because I was like,
this could turn.
Yes, because I was like, we're playing so much better than them. I was like, we're playing so well. We should be able to see this game out. But I was also like, this is a derby. Anything can happen. Like, we've, you know, managed to come back in all sorts of games. So if we can, they can. But I think mentally they were dead after the first goal.
Yeah. Yeah. They just weren't expecting what came, I guess. But if they weren't dead at halftime, it didn't take long in the second half, Sean, before Robbie Mack, the new Wanderers slayer. God, he loves a goal against Western Sydney.
He does. And also the, how would I describe it? Taunting. You know. The
celebration.
At the crowd. I love that. We need that in years gone by in the pod. We've always liked that villain. Pantomime villain.
You hate it when it happens to you.
Yeah, but when it's for us, all day. Yeah.
That's it. Was it Max Burgess that won the challenge, or did Max put the pass in? Because he was hitting Corey Holman. So Max must have won the challenge from the press.
Yes.
And then Holman put it through. Watershed game for Corey Holman. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant in midfield without Bratton.
Big shoes.
Yeah, huge, huge.
And there's been some knockers on him this season. You know, it's kind of like there's like kind of two camps. The camps are like, yeah, he's good, give him time. And the other camp's like, oh, he's not fucking good enough.
I feel like, last. Yeah.
I think he is good enough.
It's a little bit of Paolo Retre syndrome. Like, people just don't think he does much. Like, he doesn't do a lot wrong, but what does he do well? Do you know what I mean? But he's playing in that role, which is quite hard to stand out. But the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been very good. And this game just highlighted that with the lack of Bratton. But our midfield in general, I'm not sure if that's on later down on the run sheet, but our midfield in general was superb, absolutely superb. Without Bratsy there, so yeah. But Corey Holman, fantastic assist, and he also, I think he won the pen for us too. I think he might have got the boot to the ball that led to the handball. So yeah, a couple of contributions.
Fast forward 10 minutes, guys and girl. More pressing. Some really stupid trying to play out from the back bullshit from the Wanderers. And who would have thunk it with some pressing? Very similar to Alfie's press.
Ooh, what was that in that semi-final?
Like, was that against Perth?
Glory, I Reddy. I think it was Liam Reddy.
Yeah, similar kind of mold keeper. Kind of
good call.
Yeah, but also very impressive Fab, because how he when he's kind of like back was almost towards the goal, kind of side on, and then side foots it into the goal.
Turn of speed was very impressive.
Not easy. It looks quite simple when you look at it, but you know,
with a defender on his back,
on his back,
bit of Brazilian flair.
On. Yeah, Yoga Benito
just poked it in.
Would have been nice if he'd done a bit of a samba in front of the fans at the end. That would have been good. Would have been good. But 4-0, 60th minute. Like, as fans, you dream about comfortable derbies, right? You dream about these games where it's like, yeah, guys, can you score like 4 or 5 goals so we can just enjoy ourselves and have fun?
It's like old days.
Yeah. Like, you never get it, right? You never get it. So to be 4-0 up at 60 minutes, it was just, you know, absolute euphoria.
You know, the first derby I went to was the 4-0 win at ANZ.
No way.
That was the first derby I went to in that 16-17 season, or 17-18. Can't remember what year it was.
16-17, I think. Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, because the first game of the season.
That's right. 60 however many thousand or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Outstanding. Philippe Holosko. Yeah, those, yeah, well, we lost those days for a few years. We lost those days, but I don't know, Sean, how are you feeling at 4-0? Like,
oh, look, I still felt there was something else in it. What that was when you got about half an hour ish to go, I thought there's too much of a passage of time for something not to happen, whether it be maybe something, a goal from us or some kind of red card or something kind of controversial of sorts. But you know, that did come in the sense of, you know, the very unfortunate own goal from Jake, from lo and behold, Zach's absurd.
Yeah again, Zachy
boy. Against the team.
Don't I feel like we haven't seen Wanderers play many of these ex NFC players until this game. Like Priestman, Sapsford, Simmons, they're all there.
Not Ninko though. You can
one, no, yeah, one notable ex player didn't make the pitch, did he? But,
who?
Yeah, some bloke. Some guy.
Some loser.
Some Australian player. Nice. I don't know. but all in all, I mean, what can you say? Even the post win, you know, celebrations with the Sydney FC fans and the Cove. Good showing from East Sydney FC. maybe the stereotype's true because, you know, that it was full. It was absolutely full, packed out, and well done to everyone that went and celebrated and got to celebrate it. As we've said to Winston in a chat coming up, you know, these are the sorts of nights as a fan that you live for, and this is why you support your team. It's It's going into enemy territory. Let's be honest, no one wants to go to Parramatta. Taking 3 points, a comfortable win in both the men's and the women's. Brilliant night all around as a Sydney FC fan.
Can I just say as well, like, obviously there is that chat with Winston coming up, but Winston and Boz, who was on the other megaphone, they both absolutely killed it, and they did a really good job of, like, just getting, you know, not just the lower tier but the upper tier involved, especially towards the end. You know, when you're – it's so easy to just, like, sing and enjoy it when you're winning, but then to keep it up for the whole game is difficult. And so I think, they did a great job, those boys, and obviously Addy on the drums. But yeah, that Cove was just unreal. Just the most fun that I think a lot of us have had in an away derby in a long time. So good job to all those boys and everyone involved.
Go to the vote.
Oh, yeah. This was hard. I might let someone else go first because I'm still actually tossing it up. But there wasn't a bad performance. You know, poor old Hayden Matthews got dragged at halftime because he got a yellow card. And then he had another foul shortly after. So I think that was a little bit precautionary. But I thought he was brilliant in the first half. But, guys, does someone else want to take the spotlight and chuck some votes up?
I'll go one for Grant, one for Jake, one for Hayden, one for Holman, one for AC, and one for Fabio.
Oh, my God.
Was that six?
Yeah, six.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well done. Mish?
Oh, this was so hard because the day after we were talking, I was like, I can't think of a player who had a bad game. I feel like everyone just clicked. Like, everyone just had a really good game. I'm going to go two for Gertrude Reich, two for Fabio. I'm going to go one for Redders because I think he did have actually a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
And one for Maxi.
Oh, yeah, Maxi.
Well done. Well said. It's nice that it's nice to get this massive win. And Joe Lolly was very good, but I don't think either of you guys gave him a vote. I'm not going to give him a vote. So the fact that other players are stepping up, you know, whereas under Corica Ball it was give the ball to Joe and inshallah, you know, like that was it, right? So I am going to give two each to our three midfielders, Corey Holman, Cass. I thought Cass was brilliant, honestly. He was so good. As a few people said, you know, he was taking the piss. Oh, mate, Socceroos, where you at? So Corey Holman, Cass and Max Burgess, because Maxi lives for these games. And, I thought he was exceptional as well, despite not getting on the scoreboard.
Well, we'll get to see them again in action, Jonathan.
We will. Do we want to just quickly introduce Winston?
All right.
Because we'll chuck him in here.
All right.
Brilliant. On the back of what Michelle said, absolutely agree. Cove, absolutely sensational. And as we found out and spoke to Winston earlier, you know, it's been it's about his fifth season as capo of Sydney FC, and given the context around other things going on around Australian football at the moment, I thought it might be a good week to finally get him on for a chat. So enjoy this chat with Winston, and we'll come back and preview a couple of games and wrap up the pod. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, we are very fortunate to have the company of Winston Gentry. First things first, Winston, the current Sydney FC capo. Is that fair?
That's fair. Thank you for getting it right this time. I appreciate it.
I feel like that's a joke 3 years in the making. when we spoke to Addison, it must have been 3 years ago, something like that. But to be fair to us, you were probably the early days of
Yeah, I think sort of like 2019 was sort of my start. So whenever that podcast was, it was around the time that I sort of just taken over.
We hear everything, mate. Everything gets back to us when we fuck up. So It's all good. Have you recovered from the massive weekend we just had on the Sydney FC front, mate? Or you're still complaining as much as Michelle Morris is?
I think I'm still complaining as much as Michelle Morris is.
Is
I
it
don't know.
sore?
Like, I think it's like an age thing now. Like, I used to not understand how old people wanted to give this up. But now that I'm at the old age of 24 years old and I'm still sore on a Tuesday, I can see why people retire. And I think my day's coming. I think it's
You're
here.
like Nat Tobin, mate. You're senior member, 24 years old. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
brilliant, mate. You said 2019 there. So that's what's that? That's coming up to 5 years now. How, for those that don't understand, and we've spoken to a few former capos on this pod now. But how did that come about for you personally? Like, did you put your hand up? Was it, was it something that I'm not sure who was immediately prior to you, whether it was Addy and Raul was there and a couple of others sort of had a bit of a go. But yeah, how did that come about for you?
Yeah, so I mean, I was sort of part of Addison's core group. He didn't have a huge one, and he still was able to achieve so much. It was quite incredible. But basically, I just showed a ton of dedication. It was his words, and I put a lot of commitment and my time into sort of helping behind the scenes as much as I could. And it was never like sort of to do it to sort of achieve the capo position. Like, I just really loved, getting involved with the Cove as much as I could. I've been going to games since I was about 10 years old. And, through time and commitment and dedication, eventually Addison offered me the opportunity. I was absolutely shit scared of it, and I was really nervous I was gonna fuck
You're
it up. And
19, right? Like,
I was 19. I was so like I was very, very nervous, but he offered me the thing and I said, fuck, if I don't say yes to this, I might not get this opportunity again. So I took it and I just ran with it. And it's sort of been the go ever since.
good.
And since becoming the capo, Winston, was there like an initiation ceremony? Was there like a
I'm not
book?
allowed to say that on this in publicly.
Or
I
they
can't say
rammed you, baptized
that.
you in Sydney Harbour?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's only an audio podcast, so I can't show you the marks that still remain to this day. But yeah, it was quite heavy-handed.
I can't imagine there would be a psychological examination. So I think that
What are you saying?
Addison in those big hands, you just I'll
Yeah.
say no more.
What are you going to say, Michelle?
Well, I guess, Winston, how do you see your role as a capo?
Look, so when I was young and I was 10 years old, right? Like I was in the Cove, and I viewed Slowey as like a superhero. So like I thought he was like the coolest guy ever. So then, you got me as capo now. I don't know what happened between now and then, having this total badass with arm tattoos, and now you have this little squeaker voice kid.
Come on, man.
But
You do jiu-jitsu, don't you? Like, come on.
Muay Thai, but yeah.
Muay Thai, sorry. Yeah.
No.
You use a spray tan.
So look, I do like I do put a lot of value on the capo role itself. I think it's really important. Like I've hold the Cove in high regard because it's been a part of my life for so long. So I think it is an important role, and you have to take it seriously and not just sort of muck about. And it's it does, like when I have like a for example, on the weekend we have a cracker game like that, and the Cove is pumping and it's just like phenomenal atmosphere, I have a really good week. But if say we sort of don't perform as well as we could, and we have sort of a bad day, which the Cove does, it has, sometimes we don't really reach our potential. I sort of like take that with me and sort of can have like a bad night and sort of have like a bad week and think, fuck, like I didn't do good enough here. So to answer your question in short, Michelle, I think it's an important role within the Cove, and I don't take it like lightly, and I'm really honored that Addison chose me to take it up.
And I guess, like, for you, what is active in your own words? What do you see active as? And I guess, like, what do you want to see from people who want to be involved in it?
Well, I guess, I mean, to define active is active, so, which is a horrible answer, I know, but it just literally means you are just participating, right? So I just want to see everyone who gets in there participating to as much as they can, and just, try as hard. I'm not expecting to know all the chants, but just have your hands up in the air as much as possible, sing as loud as you can, try and catch on as fast as you can. So everyone, if you're behind the goals or in Bay 23, you need to be trying your absolute hardest.
You mentioned, Winston, earlier that you've been going to games since you were 10 years old. So what is your Sky Blue stories? Did like your old man take you to games, or like how did it all come about that you started following us?
Yeah, so I said 10 years old, but it was between 8 and 10 years old. I can't really remember the specifics now. But it started because one of my best mates at school, he invited me to go to a game. His dad and my dad, they said, come along with us. You want to, you know, check it out? We said, yeah, sure. And so we went to the Sydney FC game. We sat in like the general admission section. And my dad still like jokes to me this day that like he goes, "Win, your eyes at that game, they were not looking at the field at all. You know, they were just fully focused on the Cove. Your eyes were locked in on the Cove, and that's all you just wanted to be part of." So I you know, asked my dad, "Can I go in there?" And he said, "Absolutely." And I waltz in, and there's people, men swearing, which I think is the coolest thing in the world as a 10-year-old kid. Then there's like beer coming on my shirt, and I'm pretending to suck it up, that, you know, to act like I'm drunk. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what have I just walked into? This is like the coolest thing ever." And normally I think when you're, you know, you grow out of the things you think are cool at 10 years old. I, for some reason, did not. I continued to go. And so I used to go to the games with some of my mates, obviously, and we would go pretty consistently. But then eventually some of my mates just naturally grew out of it. They had other interests and they didn't really want to go to the games anymore. But for me, I was like, "No, fuck that. Like, I love this shit too much. This is awesome. I don't want to give this up." So I ended up going into the Cove by myself, without any friends. And I sort of had known a few people, met a few people through the Cove. So I was like, "Oh, you know, I'll just stand with them." And at the time that was like one of the Cove's youth group, it was called Moore Park Youth. And so I went and sat with those guys, and it was such a fun experience sitting with like a bunch of people who were like me, who just absolutely loved it and just wanted to go as hard as they could at the game. So I sort of kept hanging around those guys, and then that sort of developed all my relationships with different people in Cove leadership and in the core group. And so from that, I just stuck around and, as I said, just committed and showed some dedication and whatever, and then eventually got to the position that I'm in now.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. Active support doesn't get enough raps to show that, you know, like-minded peers hanging out with each other and, you know, might sound a bit cheesy, but, you know, creating friends and lifelong friendships.
Oh, honestly, like that's one of the best parts about it. It's just like the relationships that we have, and we all have like a common goal, and it really does like feel like a community, which I think in this day and age is kind of lost a little bit. And especially like, you know, the core group and stuff, like all of us working hard to create like TIFOs and whatnot. It's just like, it almost feels a little bit tribal, but at the same time, it's just such a cool feeling. And the fact that you're all working together and you're not just, you know, only drinking beers on the weekend, you're actually doing something and putting your effort into something together, which just creates this really strong like brotherhood amongst us all. So yeah.
You mentioned Moore Park Youth, mate. You know, we've had quite a few youth crews or, you know, groups over the years. You know, Hills to the Harbour was one that I used to sort of hang out with some of those gents, because you know, I was living in the hills at the time, and I think we actually had a TIFO at the last home game. I think, was that celebrating a bit of a milestone?
Yeah, so we had, when I was 19, we sort of started the SYC Sydney Youth Crew. I don't know why I started a youth group at the age of 19, but you know, we did, whatever. And so now we've sort of developed into the core group, and we've sort of been active together for 5 years. So that's been pretty cool. And, you know, like seeing the core group develop and seeing like these new SYC guys come in, it's just been like fucking awesome, because it's just so cool to see the circle of life, you know, and then these new guys who are so like honestly dedicated and so passionate and so willing to like give up so much to
the best thing for some of us older blokes as well is, you know, and you know, we've spoken to Grant on here, we've spoken to Slow, we've spoken to Addy, so many of the I guess, you know, the original, you know, core crew. And you know, there is a little bit of a fear that, you know, once those guys do decide, "Oh, we're going to take a few rows back," you know, and they slowly get out of that inner circle, that there's no succession. But to see yourself and, like you said, the youth crew come through and still maintain the same values that the Cove has stood for since day one, you know, it's amazing to see from a fan perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I don't have those fears that when I step away that the Cove will, you know, dissipate or whatever. Like, I'm so confident in those youth boys now that they're going to take the Cove and they're going to do like way better shit than I ever could. Like those guys are gonna. I'm really excited for the Code's future. I think they're gonna really do well. With what they have.
Brilliant. No, brilliant, mate. On the flip side of all the positives, obviously we've seen some shit go down over the weekend at other clubs. Unfortunately, we're a bit all too familiar with that at Sydney FC as well. We've had a few incidents over the years. But can you explain from a Cove perspective, how do you guys go about your business, I guess, in terms of your relationship management and just what is involved with the whole, with everything, I guess, in terms of active. So whether it's supporter marshals, whether it's talking to the stadium police, whatever it is, but can you give us a bit of an inside, look at what that involves?
Yeah, absolutely. But like before I do, I think like full credit of this goes to like the older guys before us, because they really, really did lay the foundations. Like, I don't think I could have done the same thing. I don't think I'm smart enough at all to have done that. So, like Jubal and Reg and Addy, who have really done so well to build like relationships with the club and teaching us how to deal with police in the stadium, full credit goes to them. I mentioned the club. So I think the relationship with the club is probably one of the most important ones we have, like obviously. And it's, we need to be communicating with them in the right ways, meaning we don't sort of, give too much or take too much from them so that we're still sort of separate and whatever. Mm. But the club opens us up to communications with people such as the police and Venues New South Wales and interstate police and interstate security and things like that. So through the club, we're able to communicate to these sort of higher ups who generally are quite reasonable. We find that, the higher up you go on the hierarchy, the better they are to talk to and the more understanding they have to us. So, pre-season, we'll have a meeting with this stadium and the police and just to sort of gain some understanding and see both sides of the story. And then as well, on game day themselves, if we say we have like a derby march or whatever, we'll make an effort to sort of speak to the police beforehand and just to put a face to us and say, if you need anything, come and speak to us. Because, as we know, police, especially those right ones, they can be quite difficult to deal with sometimes and sort of unreasonable. But it's important that if you want to make, the goal for us is to make active support work. It's certainly not part of the Australian culture at all. And so there's, a lot of effort to sort of shut it down and whatnot. But if you sort of, just talk to them and try and work with them, at least show that you're trying your hardest to work with them, generally things work out and they won't escalate or sort of, become a big problem. So I think communication is key with all of them. And, it's just constant communication. Communication whenever you can, when things go wrong, when things go right, saying thanks for doing this, or pointing out, hey, this is what happened. And also, when things do go wrong, it's sort of not overreacting in those circumstances as well. We sort of try and just deal with it. After, say, someone gets unfairly kicked out, as much as it sucks, it kind of is what it is, and you generally can't change a security or a police person's mind once they've kicked someone out. So rather than trying to, fight it on the spot, we just sort of allow it to happen. And then once we can review it and, use the security camera footage and or police footage or whatever it is, we will review it and say, hey, this is what happened. This is why it happened. We think you're on the wrong because of X, Y, and Z.
And it's de-escalation, right?
Like, absolutely.
Exactly what you said. And look, I know you and I won't sit here and Sean and Michelle as well. We won't sit here and act like every single time both parties are going to get that right. Because we don't. Right. And, it doesn't happen, but just getting on my soapbox for a bit about the whole situation, which I think I promised Michelle I wouldn't do, but that's all right. But I guess at the end of the day, what it is actives are there to support the teams and they want to have some fun. Right. And they do it in their own unique way, unique way football. At the end of the day, you want common sense conversations between decent human beings, right? Whether that's police, whether that's members of active, whoever it might be. But if you can just have a conversation, right, the escalation doesn't happen. But I think the problem comes with, unfortunately, either aggro gets in the way or there's power trips or whatever it might be in certain situations that people think they've got a bit more power in a situation than maybe they don't. But at the end of the day, if you've just got two people using common sense and having a conversation, then, you know, a lot of this shit won't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, the right police, sometimes they just don't, you know, and you just got to just cop it a little bit, just sort of take it and whatever, and just sort of move on. Like I had,
yeah.
I think I had one foot on the road when we were doing last sort of early part of our march on the Derby. I got threatened to get arrested rather than trying to fight him on it, trying like, you know, be whatever, just,
okay, just do it.
You know, hands are up. I'm not trying to cause any trouble. Back on the footpath, no problem, mate. And then, you know, things are smooth. You know, he won the little battle, but I win the war.
Yeah.
You know, we get to just sort of keep doing what we're doing, which is the most important thing.
If you could give one piece of advice to other active groups who have issues with the police or with security or with maybe the club not backing them, I guess what would you say to those active groups?
Only one? No, I think again, as I said before, communication is key, right? So like just try your best to understand where they're coming from, you know, see what their problem is and see if you can sort of work to it. Like we saw on the weekend, the footage with the Brisbane Roar kid got pushed by that riot copper, whose excuse was you can't be jumping around families, which is, you know, that's pretty crazy, right? But I think they did pretty well there in sort of just sort of not getting too aggressive and just sort of keep walking. So good on them for that in terms of de-escalating the situation. But again, just try and open yourselves up to have meetings with these guys and communicate and see if you can find some common ground, because more often than not, you can. And, you know, you'll be surprised about how a lot of the, you know, the clubs should sort of want you to be active and sort of want you to have those street marches and whatever you do. But just be prepared to give a little, you know, sacrifice, you know, not doing something a bit cheeky here and there, and just understand that, you know, you can't get away with everything. And, you know, I know it's fun to push the boundaries and whatever. I'm not saying that we don't do it, but just realize what those boundaries are and don't cross that line. You know, don't go too hard. Just be gentle and push them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well now, said, Johnny.
Yeah, Winston, take your mind back to last Saturday night. In behind enemy lines, there's a bit of rain up against our biggest rivals, the scum of the West. We're 2-0 up within, 10 minutes? A great result at the end of it all. Is it those kind of nights, those kind of games that, like, every game you get up for, but was there something special about last Saturday night? Is it those kind of nights that will sit long in your memory?
Yeah, like, for me, like, the biggest highlight of that night was at the end of the game, or towards the end of the game, you had two tiers of every Sydney FC fan in that section standing up singing "Sydney, Can't You See?" And that, like, I have literally the best seat or the best stand in the house for that sort of viewing, right? I get to see, like, it's like active support is so beautiful. And when the Cove reaches its peak, it's almost like it may be
like a drug,
that just makes it so much more awesome.
Absolutely. And you see,
100%.
Now, another question, I've always wondered this, you know, when I was young enough and had the knees to be able to be in the Cove, and then we graduated or gravitated to Cove Heights, and now we're in the Old Man's Bay on the side. I've always looked over the Capos and yourself and Slowey and the like. Do you ever sometimes, does it ever get to you that you don't get to watch much of the game, where you're probably spending, I don't know, 75% of the time at least with your back to the game? Do you get to see much on the screen, or it's like you go home, or the next day you hit the highlights and watch the mini game?
I'm more than happy watching the active support. I love the active support too much. Look, as much as I love watching Sydney play, I love watching the active more. You know, as I said, when I was 10 years old, my eyes were fixated on that. It doesn't bother me if I don't get to see the game. I want to see the goals. That's what I want to see, our goals. But, you know, because then we get to celebrate. But other than that, like,
You're actually not a Sydney FC fan? Like, you're a Cove fan?
I'm a Cove fan. Yeah. That's what I think I am. No, I do get a little bit jealous sometimes that I can't watch the football. But it doesn't bother me, you know, to that point where I'm just, like, trying to watch the game every second.
You'll be old and decrepit soon. You can do that then.
I don't think you'd be able to sit still if you actually bump it. Like, I think you'd start like itching and scratching, you know. Just couldn't help yourself. But awesome.
Yeah.
Brilliant. MM's going to ask you a couple of reasonably quick fire questions now, Winston. So thank you for sharing all of that, mate. Really appreciate it. We're going to ask you a bit more generic stuff now for you.
My first question is, can you leave your shirt on for the remainder of one full game, please?
Cannot do.
No. 90 minutes, cannot. But
no.
No, because you need the photos.
Absolutely. It's all about me. The world revolves around me, and I need my photos of me with my shirt off.
That was a brilliant photo, by the way. I'm not sure who took it.
Yeah.
But the reverse Poznan. That's a brilliant photo. Whoever took that, whether it was, I don't know if it was Jackson Webb or Jamie Castaneda or someone, but it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure who, but even little Jaden Kaczowski sent it to me.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I can see my hat in it.
He should have sent it to you as well, I think.
It's all about Michelle. It's all about Michelle on this podcast, Winston. Yeah.
Honestly, I think between me and Michelle, it's a bit of an ego battle.
It is.
It's all right, I'm letting you have your
married moment. Married couple.
No, divorce incoming.
No, I've proposed 7 times. She just won't say yes. I don't understand.
Have you mentioned that you were going to propose or pretend to propose at the grand final?
I was very, very, very tempted to propose to Michelle at the women's grand final, but I figured I didn't want to take away the spotlight from anyone else. But
I tell you, I think there are a lot of men and women that would like to have proposed to Michelle at that grand final. Just saying.
All right, Winston, what is your favorite memory as a Sydney FC fan?
Ooh.
Favorite.
This is hard. You can have two if you want.
One honorable.
Yeah, Sean's good at picking more than one.
Oh.
Do you have one that sort of stands out?
I mean, I know it's probably cheating. I'll give you two. But so I'll mention it. Like just seeing the two tiers of us standing, seeing Sydney Country C on Saturday. Like I took a moment to just take that all in. Like that was fucking capo.
Wow.
Time. I absolutely love that thing. So that's up there. And I think the Shane Smeltz 90th minute winner in the derby away at Parramatta as well. That was huge. But I would like to mention memorable moment, because I think that's a bit of a different question. I remember, I think I was like, it was early COVID days for me. Like I was like 10, 11 or 12 or something. And Matt Yerman scored a goal. I think we're playing Gold Coast United, maybe.
Off his shoulder or something?
Anyways, I don't even know if he scored, but the players all ran over to celebrate with the Cove and the fence collapsed. And the fence collapsed right on his leg. And so he was just like absolutely screaming in pain. And I swear to God, as a 10-year-old kid, he just looked at me dead in the eyes, screaming, in excruciating pain. So I don't know if that's like memorable or if that's traumatizing, but that has never left my mind. Like sometimes I can't sleep at night thinking about those eyes just looking into my soul. So
oh my God.
That's memorable.
That is very memorable.
That was his future punishment for playing for the West. It was just paying it forward.
Winston, what's the, in your opinion, the best TIFO?
Oh,
I'm going to make this like a two-part. The best TIFO that you have seen and then the best TIFO that like you've been like part of.
I love that Sydney is our city TIFO with the hands, because just not the hand part, but when I first saw it, I remember the car display coming up for the first time and the camera zoomed in and you could just see this magnificent card pattern just all come to like life. I thought, yeah, that was just truly epic, that rising sun pattern and obviously the TIFO coming up in front of it. In terms of TIFOs that I've worked on, I mean, they're all pretty spectacular, but I think... I mean, the most recent one was awesome. I loved doing that one. That was, that was probably like mine and Carlo as well, who I have to mention here because he doesn't get enough recognition because he's not in the spotlight. But without him, that TIFO really wouldn't have been what it was. So thanks to Carlo. But yeah, working on that massive fucking thing, that was incredible. And as well, that one, it's a little bit more basic, but it was at Cogra. It was a guy holding the scarf and then we had the scarf behind. And it said, "Our club unites, your club divides." I thought that was pretty cool because it was sort of like a cutout rather than just sort of like a TIFO that sort of lifted up and sort of was like a rectangle or square. I think that was a nice little development that we had made there.
It was a cool design.
Yeah.
St. Terry's my favorite, Winston. St. Terry.
Fair enough.
I like the Michelle Morris one.
Now you admit that it's yours. Yeah. For so long, it's
which,
not me.
Which one's this, Michelle? Sorry, which one?
The Cromer Park one, the one I did.
Oh, super fan. Yeah. No,
it's good. Holding up the skull. It's not me, though.
Behind and had the exact same tattoos as Michelle, but it's not her.
Wrong. It wasn't. They actually got rid of all the tattoos and just kept the Cove one.
Okay.
That was it. On the wrong arm. Anyways, Sydney Derby or Big Blue?
I knew you were going to ask this question. I've been thinking about it for the past 2 days. I was like, I don't know.
Can you pick?
I think I came to my conclusion, and I think because, you know, when I was like in 2010, it was when I was 10 years old, right? And so as I was sort of entering my early teenage years, the Derby was like the big game, right? It was sort of took away the spotlight from Melbourne a little bit. And so we sort of saw the RBB when, you know, that was their prime as well. And we, you know, it was a very big competition between them and us. And we saw the horrible things that they did to us. So I think, you know, obviously we get them back as well. But I think the Derby for me is the bigger, the more, you know, there's more hatred, there's more rivalry between us and Western Sydney for me personally. Mm. Yeah.
Probably more now than before as well.
Yeah.
Winston, best away day. Where do you love being the capo the most?
Central Coast Away.
Central Coast Away is hectic. Oh, I mean, yeah. Where do I love being capo the most? Like, I think it's, you know, Melbourne or Derby. It's like, I know it's an easy answer, but that's just, you know, the two top tier away days. You've really, like, you know, you're showing your love and support for the club and you're trying your absolute hardest. But in terms of fun, it's Brisbane or Central Coast. Like, they're just such great trips.
Speaking of Melbourne away, how many times have you tried to light Melbourne on fire, Winston?
Too many.
Too many? More than one hand, or?
Yeah, I don't know. It's too many to count. I've sometimes been a little bit too drunk. And I may have gotten a lighter and tried to burn the first building down in front of me. It's fortunately failed, but I stated many times I'm going to burn down Melbourne.
And does Geelong count, or is that just where you go to get good burgers? How were the burgers in Geelong, Winston?
They were fantastic. Yeah. Leave it at that.
No,
it's okay.
Fill us in, because I don't actually know. I don't know this reference. I just.
Well, we went to this burger place. And we were being served by like one of the lovely workers there, and they were being really polite, really kind to us. So I just said, thank you so much. You've been such a gentleman. And as we were walking away, I was informed that it was a woman. So I kind of fucked up on that one.
It's Geelong, man. It's
never know these days.
The most Winston story I've heard.
Yeah. So I do apologize there. I did have the burgers. Actually, I don't even think I ate. I think I ran out of the restaurant before my burger came because I made that remark. So I couldn't even tell you.
You're too embarrassed.
Yeah.
Too embarrassed. Oh, dear. Sorry, Sean, back to you.
Look, Sydney FC, go. Who is it? Ooh.
I mean, it's easy to say Alex Brosk, but I love seeing, like, these new age guys like Max Burgess and, you know, the potential of Jaden Kaczowski as well, to see these, like, you know, these, like, Sydney boys coming through and just, like, showing their passion. Like, Maxi really, like, he gives so much of a fuck about the fans and his willingness to always talk to us and sort of learn. And he seems like he really understands the active support culture as well, and he has an interest in it. So I think, you know, with time, as long as he stays with us and doesn't do anything stupid, he will be the greatest support man.
Like red cards in semifinals.
More like changing teams, I think that's what I'm...
Yeah, I know. I was trying to let him off lightly. This came in from a fan, this question, Winston. Why do you shake hands left-handed?
I'll tell you this. Look, the only issue I have telling this story is that it's at the expense of someone else.
Okay.
So maybe.
Can they remain anonymous, or?
Well, I think people will know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Look, I'm happy to tell you guys, and you can decide whether or not it's worth leaving it in.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. So look, Addison is a bit of a klutz, right? Like, we can all agree he sort of makes mistakes here and there. and does some dumb things sometimes, which I kind of capitalize on.
Mikel Tavares.
Yeah. And one time we were at Leichhardt Oval and some guy was yelling at Addison from his car. And Addison runs over and gives him a handshake with his left hand. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I sort of made like a big song and dance. I had a few drinks and was saying left-handed handshakes, left-handed handshakes. Like, how stupid can you be? You know, like, where have you grown up? What do you know? Where are your manners? It's right hand. We know this. You know, does he have a weapon on him? We don't know. It's right hand. And then Addison very politely comes over to me and lets me know that he doesn't really have a right hand to shake. So that was the problem. He didn't have a right hand. And so Addison had to use his left to be polite.
Didn't have a right hand to shake.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
How do you get into all these situations?
Stupidity.
Youthful exuberance.
Yeah.
Youthful exuberance. Peter Pan syndrome. That's what I'm picking up from you, Mr. G. I think there's a fair bit of that going on around Sydney FC and the Cove, to be fair. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. We've got a big game, big games actually this weekend. Shouldn't leave the girls out of this. They've got a huge game against Western United, top of the table. But the men take on Brisbane at Allianz on Sunday. I reckon we'll get a pretty big crowd for this one. Nice afternoon kickoff on a Sunday arvo. Expecting big things.
Yeah, absolutely. Always. I'm really excited for this weekend.
Fantastic. And despite not being able to watch much of Sydney FC, you enjoying Talley Ball?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've met him once before when we were doing setup inside the stadium. He's a great guy and he seems to really sort of like embody the club's values. And he was, you know, open to speaking to me. And I'm really excited for that future with him, coaching the club.
And he spoke... spoke from the heart about the fans' influence with the derby as well this past week. So I'm sure he scored a lot of points with, with the right people in that as well. Winston, mate, thank you so much. We'll let you go enjoy the rest of your night, the rest of your evening. You can go abuse those fans that sent those questions in. And their secret is safe with us. But, mate, thanks so much. Thanks for doing everything you do as well. Personally, I know you don't do it for, accolades or anything like that. But, I know, speaking from everyone involved with Sydney FC, it is a huge responsibility and it's a huge physical toll and I'm sure a mental toll as well, mate. So, the way that you lead the Cove is exceptional. And, it's always brilliant to see the crowd getting up and supporting that. So encourage as many people to get involved as possible and don't be afraid. I think that's one thing we've picked up from speaking to a few capos in the past. If you want to get involved in active, don't be afraid. Get involved, come over, talk to some of the guys and get as many numbers in there as possible.
Yeah. And thank you guys so much for having me on. If I can do one final plug, please, anyone listening, buy some Cove merch, donate to the Cove Fund, buy a scarf, buy a sticker pack, your appreciation, show your love for it. It really helps us and it goes a long way. And as we've said before and shut down many Twitter rumors, we are 100% independent and yes, we rely all on the funds that we make through merchandise sales to produce those TIFOs that we do.
Storm of Sydney shirt, 8 left, is that right?
8 left, only in medium and large, so you have to act very, very, very quickly.
I'm out, sorry, man. Double XL.
No, triple XL.
Come be a winion.
Thanks.
Winion. Sorry, I just have to say quickly, happy birthday to one of our core members, Will Nick, as well. So I'll leave it on that.
Happy birthday. Good man.
Thank you. See ya.
Thanks, Winston. Excellent. Brilliant. No, thanks again, Winston, for joining us. And we have been meaning to get him on for quite some time. So the fact that he could join us at short notice this week was absolutely sensational. Sean, as you were saying before I rudely cut you off, we will be able to see the boys in action again on Sunday.
10th of March, 4 days before your birthday, Jonathan.
For a very important day.
Yeah, your birthday's next Thursday. I haven't forgotten. Sunday, the 10th of March, on Sunday, everyone, Sunday.
Sunday, not Saturday, Sunday. As I keep saying.
Don't rock up on Saturday. If you do rock up on Saturday, make sure it's at Leichhardt, 7 p.m., eh, Michelle?
But, that's right.
Sunday, 10th of March, up the road at Moore Park, 5 p.m. kickoff against Brisbane Roar. Interesting. I don't know what to make of Brisbane. They're kind of good and then sometimes they're kind of not. They've had quite a turbulent season. Coaches coming, going and coming. Look, I'll cut straight to the chase. I think we carry on our winning ways, and get a few goals to the good. Brats will come back, of course.
Yep. Or will he? Like,
yeah, he will.
He will
push Max probably to the bench, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure. It's, you know, Ulfie doesn't like changing a winning team, but I guess Brat's being captain, it might be the exception. Ryan Grant is captain, by the way. Another wonderful performance by him down the right, must say. Not wasn't just the goal; it was the whole game. But yeah, I think you're right, Sean. I think won't say too much on it because I think it's going to be quite a long pod. But if we play like that, I can't see Brisbane getting close to us. And as much as I want success for Zach Anderson and Kaz Patafta in charge there, they seem to be making some very silly decisions in certain areas, none less than hiring Ruben Zadkovic on a full-time basis. But yeah, might have egg on my face, but I reckon we'll get the win. I think, you know, Brisbane beat Victory on the weekend. Marco Rojas hasn't hurt us too much in the past, and especially the last few years he had. He looks to be playing a bit more football now for the Raw. But yeah, I again, this is a game that, on the back of what we saw on the weekend, I can't see them getting close to us, to be honest. Michelle, concerned?
Post-derby, not really.
Post-derby come down, maybe?
I don't know. I think we've been very consistent in the way that we play, which I think helps us more than it helps them, because they've obviously not been very consistent. They won, you know, a scrappy win against a Melbourne Victory side that also isn't that great. Like, they're only above us on the table because of these new, like, ladder positions that they wanted to do. But realistically, they don't look too difficult. So I don't think, Brisbane's going to be too much of a worry.
Yeah. Beautiful. I reckon we'll score at least 3 goals and we'll probably concede one. So I'll say a 3-1 win for the good guys.
I was going to say 3-0.
Nice.
2-0.
Nice. Brisbane they've only lost one in their last 5, to be fair to them. But we'll surely come out on top. As we head towards the end of the pod, a quick mention for the NPL New South Wales result on the weekend. The boys suffered their first loss, so that is a draw, a win, and a loss. They lost to St. George 2-1 on the weekend, but building very nicely. And again, that game clashed with the City Derby, so any of the young boys that were available previously were not for that game. So, Sean, they run out. Actually, probably when this pod is out, same day. So there's a game Wednesday night. Is that tonight?
Yeah, when this comes out.
You're right.
They've got Hills United over at Landon Stadium, wherever the fuck that is. I'm assuming
that's the old Blacktown Stadium. Lily Holmes. It's the old Lily
Holmes. Is that Lily's Home? Is that what Lily's is called now? I remember going there with you.
Yep.
And then fast forward 48 hours odd later, they've got Central Coast at home, our home, Rockdale and Linden, down there at West Botany Street.
On a Friday night.
Friday night at 7:30.
So what you're saying is, Sean, we could go to Rockdale Linden on Friday night. We could go to Leichhardt Oval and watch the girls on Saturday and then the men's on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely.
What else would you rather be doing?
Go down for the young fellas. Two words. Tiago Quintal.
Oofed. Muy bueno.
Muy bien.
I don't actually know what his background
Caliente. Is. Caliente.
I don't know either. Sounds Brazilian.
don't know. We'll have to get Thiago involved. He's looking very good.
He's very good.
Looking very good.
But good luck to the fellas there. Like you said, they've had a loss, a win, and a draw. Probably could have, should have gotten a point off St. George, but I think St. George were just a little bit more clinical with their
Given,
clutching.
yeah, given it's Friday night, what we'll probably see as well, if anyone is interested, you'll probably see the Mitch Glassons, the Amanitides, the Scaracellas. They'll play probably 45 minutes, just to get again minutes in the legs, and then back up for Sunday's game for the Seamen. Just one thing, sorry, quickly. One thing I saw during the week, being a stalker on Instagram, Joe Lacey's in a moon boot. I don't know if we'd covered that on the pod, but
Nope.
because he hasn't been showing up for either the senior squad or the NPL squad just yet. But that might explain it. He's got a big boot on, so hopefully Joe is recovering well and it doesn't keep him out for too long.
Jonathan, I think that's it. Are we done?
I think I'm good. I think I've spoken a lot.
Yeah.
I think we've covered a lot of territory.
Long pod.
Long pod. Michelle, anything further from you? We will not subject you to Who's That Sydney FC player this
Oh,
week.
thank God.
Yeah.
No, nothing else to add. Go watch the girls.
Go, go,
7 p.m.
girls. 7 p.m.
Fortress Leichhardt.
Saturday. Watch us like
Fortress Leichhardt.
Who's That Sydney FC? I'll tell you what, picking Trudy Burke was rough from that Rojas guy.
Yeah, that Rojas guy, honestly,
Like,
needs
Trudy
to.
was on our books for a few years. She only played one game. Like, I think the rule should be 10 appearance or you were a marquee. So, like, Benito Carbone or Cazzu or, Megan Rapinoe or someone, of a name. But anyway, you guys, he's a prick. Go back
That's
to
a word.
the DCU. Seriously.
Yeah.
DCU? MCU? All right. Awesome. Now, looking forward to all of that football and more. Thanks, guys, for joining us this week. And again, once again, thanks to Winston for jumping on and sharing his Sky Blue story with us. Really, really interesting chat. And again, make sure you say good day to him if you get the chance. And I guess we'll be back same bat time, same bat channel, Sean.
Program.
Same bat program next week. We'll talk to everyone then.